subject for this evening, by every word. What did I say? Matthew chapter 4, reading from verse 1. Matthew 4, reading from verse 1. I read from the King James Version of the Bible. All right, someone has found it to my right. Matthew chapter 4, reading from verse 1. If you found it, say amen. The Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him," by the way, don't go looking for the devil. If you are to have an encounter with the devil, let him come to you. I need more amens than that. Do not go looking for the devil. There are some who believe Christ went to the wilderness looking for the devil. No, he went to pray, but he knew the devil would come. Do not go looking for the devil. There are some people who believe there's a spiritual gift called deliverance, where you cast out demons. It is not a spiritual gift. Don't go looking for demons to cast out. Is this mic working? My brothers and sisters, I love you. Because the Bible tells me, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Listen to me carefully. Don't go looking for demons to cast out. Now, if in doing the work of God, you encounter a situation, you have to act. Yes. But don't walk around saying, "I specialize in deliverance ministry." It is not a spiritual gift. And so the Bible says, and when he was, after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Read verse 4 with me, if you have my version. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Listen to Jesus as he deals with temptation. It is written. That is the secret of success in rebuffing the devil. It is written. Sunday as the Sabbath is not written. People burning in hell forever is not written. Dead people can hear your prayers is not written. Mary is in heaven as an assistant redeemer is not written. A priest can forgive your sins is not written. Come on, say it with me. Is not written. Jesus says it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. We must live our lives by what is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. I thank God the verse doesn't say, man shall not live by bread at all. That's not what the verse says. Bread is important. Can you say amen? Food is important. Can you say amen? I am sure you go to all three meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The verse says, man shall not live by bread alone. There's a higher way to live, and that is by the word of God, and I mean that. When Jesus was interacting with the Samaritan woman at the well, the disciples brought him food, verse 31 of John 4. And the Bible says, and they prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." What did he say? "I have meat to eat, ye know not of." What did Jesus mean when he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word"? What is every word? Let's take a look at word and what it sometimes can suggest. Let's go to John 15. We're trying to understand what did Jesus mean when he said, every word. John 15. You shall read from verse 20. Do you have that? Read with me if you have my version. Remember the word that I said unto you. Now stop. What did Jesus say? Remember the word. Now, he's about to remind them what the word is. What is the word? The servant is not greater than his Lord. Let's count how many words. The servant is not greater. How many words are those? Than his Lord. How many words? But Jesus says, remember the word. One word. Then he spake eight. It could be that sometimes when the Bible uses the word word, it means more than a word. But we are not one text Christians. Come on, say amen. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah 1, we shall read from verse 7 and we'll go to verse 8. What's our subject? By every word. What book did I say? Nehemiah is in the Old Testament for those of you struggling to find it. Have you got it? If you found it, say amen. You're still looking for Nehemiah. Have mercy. Have you found Nehemiah? What's the book just before Nehemiah? What's the book after Nehemiah? Who can recite all 66 books in order? Come. Would you put some light in this microphone for us, please? We have... Come, sister, come. Don't look at me like that, sister. I'm a nice man. Come. Come, sister, come. Come athletically, come. What am I asking her to do? Recite the 66 books of the Bible. All right, come right up, sister. How are you? What's your name?
Diane Colbor.
Diane Colbor?
Colbor.
How do you spell that?
K-O-B-O-R.
Oh, Colbor. Where's that name from?
Hungary.
Hungary is a nice place. All right. Never been there, but it's nice. All right. 66 books. In order.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. And I'm stage fright.
It's okay. Start again.
Genesis, Exodus. Can I sing it?
Okay, go ahead. Sing, sing. You need music?
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, and the Book of Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, then comes Malachi. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, then comes 3 John, then Jude, and Revelation.
Thank you very much. God bless you. God bless you, sister. God bless you. I should sing, God bless you. Since I'd like to see you give a Bible study and refer to the verses. Let us turn to Matthew, chapter 5, verse 4. All right, God bless you, sister. We must learn the books of the Bible. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, what book did I say?
Amen.
Have you found it now?
Amen.
Chapter 1, reading from verse 7. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and hath not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Now verse 8, read with me. Remember, I beseech thee, the word which thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying what? If ye transgress I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But the word goes on to verse 9. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to put my name there. All of that, finish my thoughts, is the word. Remember the word. All of 9 and part of 8 is the word. Let's go to Galatians 5. What's our subject? By every word. Galatians 5. Let me see who will find Galatians first. Who found it? Ah, God bless you. God bless you. Galatians 5. God bless you, my good brother. Verses 13 and 14. If you have it now, say amen. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love do what? Serve one another. Now read verse 14 with me. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Stop. One word. Now what's that one word? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the one word. It is clear that frequently when the Bible says word, it means a statement. Are you with me? Let's go to Psalm 105. Let's read verse 8. Psalm 105, verse 8. Psalm 105, verse 8. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
He hath remembered his what? Covenant forever. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. What is that word? Read verse 11. What does it say? Saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan and thy lot for an inheritance. That is the word. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. You know it without reading it. But he answered and said, it is written, read it with me, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Now, we have evidence that what Jesus meant was by every statement. Let's go to Matthew 12. Let's pile up the evidence so the enemy cannot lead us astray. Evidence upon evidence. By every word is our subject. We're now going to Matthew 12, reading from verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? When the Pharisees knew it or heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. That's what the Pharisees said. Now, let's go to verse 36. Do you have it? You have my version? Read it for me. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, go on, they shall give account thereof in the judgment. Now, question for you. Show me that you're thinking. What is the idle word Jesus is referring to in verse 36? I thought I heard the beginnings of a correct response. What's the idle word that was spoken that Jesus says people will have to give an account? Go back to verse 24. What does verse 24 say? What does verse 24 say? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said what? This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Now Jesus defends himself against that charge from verse 25 to 36. Then he says, you've got to give an account in the judgment for that idle word, accusing me of using God's power to do the devil's work. Or using the devil's power, to do God's work. The idle word was, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. That was the idle word, or the idle statement, or the idle declaration. Check my time, 20 to 9. If I go past 9 by 10 minutes, is it okay? Let us drop that part of the message. Let's go to something entirely different. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. We read from chapter 8. Reading from verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 8, reading from verse 1, book number 5, most of it written by Moses. Chapter 34 was clearly written by somebody else because it tells us about Moses' death. Are you there? The Bible says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Let me pause. Do you observe something in that verse? Listen to the verse again. Listen microscopically. All the commandments. How many? How many? All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. But what is the outcome? That ye may live. Go on and multiply. Go on and go in. Go on and possess the land. Stop. Do you see the benefits of obedience? Many of us are suffering. For no other reason, we will not obey God. And then we say God is a hard God. It is not enough to exist. You have to live. A lot of human beings are existing. They're not living. Because a life outside of Christ is not life. It's existence. And so the Bible says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. What are the benefits? That ye may live a full life, multiply, go in, possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart. Finish the verse. Whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. When God brought them out, he wanted to find out one thing. What was that? Will they obey me? You didn't hear what I said. Let me say it again. God wanted to find out one thing. Will they, finish my words, obey me? Question for you. What is God trying to find out from you? Same thing. Same thing. Verse 3. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, pick it up with me now, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Does that sound familiar? Where did we come across that? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus was quoting from this verse. Follow me closely. Let's go to verse 16. Of Deuteronomy 6, I should say. Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. Our subject by every word. Do you have that? What does it say? Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him at Massah. Now, when Jesus was tempted to jump off the temple, what did he say? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He said, it is written, this is the verse he was quoting. Deuteronomy 6:16. Now, When he was tempted to worship the devil, he said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Read verse 13 of Deuteronomy 6. Nice and loud. And thou shalt fear the Lord your God and serve him. That's worship. That's the text Jesus was quoting. What have you observed about the three responses of Jesus Christ? They're all from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, that's not by accident. Don't sleep. Follow me closely. The book of Deuteronomy, which means essentially a repetition, a restating, it's composed of three major discourses given by Moses. What is a discourse? A speech, a sermon, yes. Moses is rehearsing the 40 years of experience with God in the wilderness. Why they are on the banks, they can see the promised land. The first major speech, you can write these down, begins in chapter 1, verse 1, and it goes to chapter 4, verse 43. The first major speech begins and ends where? Chapter 1, verse 1, to chapter 4, verse 43. It is a historical review of God's dealings with them in the wilderness from Horeb to Moab. And there's a call to obey and avoid idolatry. That's the sum of that section. The second section begins in chapter 4, verse 44, and goes to chapter 26, verse 19. That's a long section, a long discourse. That has to do with civil and moral statutes, judgments. The third section goes from chapter 27, verse 1, to chapter 31, verse 30. That has to do with warnings of disobedience, the blessings of obedience. Then 32, the Song of Moses, 33, prediction on the future of the tribes, 34, the death of Moses. Let me review. Deuteronomy is made up of three major discourses. The first one begins and ends where? 1:1 to 4:43. That covers what? It's a historical review. The second section goes from chapter 4, verse 44, to where? 26, verse 19. It covers civil and moral statutes. The third section goes from 27:1 to 31:30. It covers the warnings of disobedience, the blessings of obedience. Those are the three major sections. Now, which is the largest of the three? Come on, talk to me. Which is the largest of the three? The middle one. How large is it? From chapter 4 to chapter 26. Now, that middle section is subdivided into two sections. Chapter 5 to 11 and 12 to 26. This is classroom. Concentrate. Take your notes. The middle section is subdivided into how many? Two subsections. Chapter 5 to 11 and 12 to 26. Now, 12 to 26 covers subjects like worship, purity, tithe, the three annual feasts, the conduct of prophets, priests, kings, how to administer justice, how to conduct a war, and the private and social lives of the Israelites. That's 12 to 26. 5 to 11. What is distinct about Deuteronomy chapter 5? Don't look. Don't look. What is distinct about Deuteronomy chapter 5? The Ten Commandments are restated. So 5 to 11, in that section, it covers only the Ten Commandments. Restates them in chapter 5, comments on them all the way to chapter 11. Now, this division is made by the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. And other Bible scholars agree. But Ellen White also agrees. Listen to what she says in Bible Commentary, Volume 1, page 1118, paragraph 2. I ask you to study chapters 4 to 8 of Deuteronomy, that you might understand what God required of His ancient people. Now, I told you it goes from 5 to 11, but Ellen White, she has the very heart of that section. She says, I ask you to study Deuteronomy 4 to 8, that you might understand what God required of His ancient people, that they might be holy unto Him. What she's saying is, understand that what God required was obedience to His law. Chapter 5 to 11 deals with what? The Ten Commandments. Now, look at the three responses of Jesus. Where did the first one come from? Chapter 8, verse 3. Where did the second one come from? Chapter 6, verse 16. Where did the third one come from? Chapter 6, verse 13. In other words, all the responses of Jesus came from the section of Deuteronomy, finish my words, that deal with the Ten Commandments. Now, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let's look at some words proceeding from God's mouth. In John 12, let's go there, leading from verse 27. John 12, reading from verse 27, our subject, by every word. Can you hear the symbol of the Holy Ghost falling? All right. Oh, there's a problem with the... Thank you, Dr. Christian. We're having a... all right, okay. The devil is a busy man. Say amen for God. All right. What book did I say? Who? John. What chapter? What verse? 27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Read verse, what follows after that? Then came there a voice from heaven saying what? I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Those are words right from the mouth of God. That's not what Jesus was referring to. Let's go to Matthew 3. Verse 17. Christ has come out of the baptismal waters. He's standing on the banks of Jordan. Verse 17 of Matthew 3. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That is from the mouth of God, but that's not what Christ is referring to. Matthew 17, verse 5, the Mount of Transfiguration. The voice says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So we have examples of words from the mouth of God. But that's not where Jesus got his responses. He got his responses from that section of Deuteronomy that dealt with a different kind of word coming from the mouth of God. What were those words? The Ten Commandments. Now, when Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, what he meant was, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every commandment. Because Paul tells us in Romans 7:10, the commandments were ordained to life. But I need some help. Let's go to the Servant of the Lord, Spiritual Gifts, Volume 4A, page 150, paragraph 1. She quotes the words first. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then she says, Christ refers to His Father's law. The words spoken from Sinai are the conditions of life. Why am I giving this presentation? Because we're moving towards Grow Michigan. When we go, we must let the people know God has a lifestyle. He has a standard. And the standard has been, it is, and will always be conformity to that law. But since the law is a divine law, and we're preaching to human beings, there must be a power that enables a human being to live up to a divine law. Name that power. Jesus Christ. And so we do not leave them where they are. We raise them up and we tell them, the man who died for you is telling you, you've got to live by every commandment. Here's what the servant of the Lord tells us. Evangelism, page 137, paragraph 1. Never bring the truth down to a low level in order to obtain converts, but seek to bring the sinful and corrupted up to the high standards of the law of God. And they can reach that standard by connecting themselves, finish my words, with Jesus. Because when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, he included himself. Why? Because he was a man. And so the Word of God is speaking to us tonight. Michigan Camp Meeting. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, by every commandment. The law of God is the law of life. That's how we're to live. If you examine the story in Eden, follow me closely, 3 minutes to 9, I'll be finished shortly. God told Adam, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2, 16, 17. God is saying, Adam, that tree is mine, all those trees are yours. Eat from those, do not eat from mine. If you disobey, what happens? You die. Notice the word I use. If you disobey, you die. Let's turn that coin. If you obey, what do you preserve? Your life. Obedience is a life preserver. Don't let people tell you obedience is a, legalism. Bondage. Obedience is the way to preserve life. So God effectively said to Adam, if you want this life to continue, if you want to live in a sinless environment, no sickness, no disease, no discrimination, obey me. Obedience is a life preserver. Great Controversy, page 467, paragraph 4, Ellen White writes, the law reveals to man his sins, but offers no remedy or provides no remedy. While it promises life to the obedient, it declares that death is the portion of the transgressor. It promises life to the obedient. And so Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every commandment. Of course, the commandments express the very righteousness of Christ. They express his life. My brothers and sisters, the message may have been a little tough for you. I hope you got the gist of it. When Jesus said, live by every word, he meant live by every commandment. That's how you live. A life that pleases God is an obedient life. And the power to live that life is the power of Christ. We need power from heaven to live an upright life on earth. We see that in the creation of man. Listen to Genesis 2 verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of what? The earth. Come on. The dust of the earth. Now we have the earth. We have what is from beneath the earth. Here was Adam formed. Passioned, artistic, but dead or lifeless. Then God did what? Breathe into his nostrils. Where did the dirt come from? The earth. Where did the breath come from? Above. in order for Adam to live on the earth, he needed something from where? Above. Are you with me? Today, in order to live the life God requires, we need something from above, and that is the life of Christ. Can you say amen? When we have the life of Christ, we live by every word, which means we live by every commandment, including the one that says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Don't make it holy, keep it, because I made it holy, you keep it holy. And so tonight, as I close the book, I ask you politely, are we living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? Yes, it's a high standard, yes. It's the standard for the angels. But the power to live that life is Jesus Christ. Christ didn't die so we could live a life close to what He wants. He died that we may live His very life. The amens are not numerous enough. Listen to me carefully. We are not to live a life that looks like the life of Christ. We are to live, finish my words, the life of Christ. What did Paul say? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Come on, say it. Christ liveth in me. That is the life of a Christian. What did Jesus say in John 14:10? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. The life that God accepts is the life of Christ lived out in us by our invitation and permission. And so I say once again, but He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Now let's have the camp, let's have that version. But by every commandment that proceeds from the mouth of God. The seventh-day Sabbath proceeded from the mouth of God. Sunday's day of worship proceeded from the mouth of man. The Bible says, don't live that way. Is there someone listening to me? There is somebody listening. You are in direct violation of one of God's commandments. It could be honor thy father and thy mother. And tonight you want to say, Father, enough is enough. I want to walk straight with you. I want to stop. There's someone possibly living in direct violation of one or more of the Ten Commandments. Jesus said we must live by every word. And you want to say, Father, I'm sorry. I really truly love you. Help me to live a life that pleases you. I confess, I admit, I have been living in willful violation of one of your Ten Commandments. If there's someone like that, if. Can I see your hand? If you raise your hand, you alone stand up. The call is, I am aware I am living consciously in violation of one of God's commandments. If that applies to you and you raise your hand, stand up, we're going to pray. Come, come, come quickly, come. Don't worry, come. Let's pray, come. I am living, and I know I am, in violation of one of God's commandments. I'm aware of it. I've been doing it. I intend to do it. But tonight I've been touched. Let me tell you something that may sound difficult to believe. Life is life lived by God's commandments, all 10. Living by 9 is death. Ah, you didn't hear me. Jesus said you've got to live by all. A life lived by 9 is death. You break one, you break all. Look at this building. There's a door right there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. How many doors does a thief need to break to come into this place? 1. How many commandments do you need to break to disrespect God? One. One. I ask again. There is a commandment I am deliberately violating. I want to stop. Come. This is not judgment. This is invitation to mercy. The person calling you is a sinner, but I'm calling on behalf of the sinless God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come. I know I'm living in violation. I know it. Come. You may never have this opportunity again. You may attend other services. You will never attend one just like this. Come. Come, brother, come. If you're afraid, ask the person next to you to walk with you. But come. Tell God, I intend to stop tonight by your grace. Whether it's thou shalt have no other gods before me, worshiping idols, or living with someone who's not your husband or wife, whatever it is, come and say, Father, I'm sorry. I mean sorry. I really loved you. I'm sorry. That's what we're coming to say. You know, the Bible says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That still applies today because Jesus is still pleading for us. When probation closes, that ends. So the door of mercy is open. Come. 60 seconds, I pray. I am living in willful, open, well, not open, but willful violation of one of God's commandments. And I'm sorry, Father. Come. 60 seconds, start now. Come. Come. For those of you sitting, if you think of commandment 4, it may apply to you. No one breaks the Sabbath commandment like Adventists. You do all kinds of things on God's holy day. So it may be the commandment where most of us are in willful violation. 40 seconds, come. Come. Someone watching you come may say, if he can go, I can go. 30 seconds, come. Willful violation. God overlooks the ignorance. He does not overlook willful violation. 25 seconds. Come. We'll pray. God loves you. He wants you saved and your family. He wants you saved. 20 seconds. Come. Willful violation. Jesus wants us to live by every word, every commandment. Each commandment is ordained to life. 10 seconds. Come. We pray. God will forgive. God loves to forgive. When he destroys sinners, it's called his what? His strange work. He's the God of life. Sin, death came in because of sin, originating with Satan. God is the God of life. Hebrews 2:14, the devil has the power of death. God is the God of life. But disobedience leads to death. Obedience is life. He wants life for you. The devil wants you dead. And so he gets us to disobey. Let's use our common sense and obey the life giver that we may have life now and in the world to come. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Come, sister, come. We'll wait till you get here before we pray. Come. God bless you. Come. And as you go to your tents tonight, your caravans, your whatever where you're sleeping, think of this commitment you've made and say, Lord, give me strength. And that strength is in God's word. Whatever your violation is or mine, find the verses that deal with it. Read them. Accept them into your heart. The power to overcome is in the word of God. So if my violation is honor thy father, thy mother, I'm not going studying remember the Sabbath day. That's not where the power is. I'll find a verse connected. So when the devil told Jesus, turn stones to bread, the verse he used was related. Thou man shall not live by bread alone. You understand? The Bible has a scientific way to deal with weakness and temptation. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear God in heaven, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for your patience, dear God. It seems almost elastically eternal. Father in heaven, we thank you for this message. We understand when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, he meant every commandment. All 10. Because all 10 represent a perfectly rounded life. In the name of Jesus, dear God, forgive us for our violation of one or more of your laws. Father, we did not mean to hurt you. So we come to say sorry. Give us, dear God, the mind of Jesus, not the mind like Jesus, the very mind of Christ that hated iniquity and loved righteousness. Give us that mind. Give it to us now, dear God, now. Look upon everyone who came individually, dear God. Place your hand of fatherly love around them. Draw them to your warm bosom, dear God. Let them know you are glad they've decided to stop hurting you. Because by not hurting you, they're not hurting themselves. Now, dear God, the same power that sustained Jesus in the wilderness, give us that power. Because as He was a man, so are we, men and women. Put into our hearts your grace. Grant us the Spirit of Christ. Father, give us such a determination to serve you that not even the threat of death will change our minds. I mean it from my heart when I say, bless every man, woman, boy, and girl who came. And for those seated, bless them. From this day forward, dear God, let us try to please you in the way we live, the way we talk, the way we act, and the way we think. Bless us to such a degree that we become blessings to others. And Father, when you come, save us with joy into your eternal kingdom. We offer this prayer from our hearts. In Jesus' name and for His sake, let God's people say, amen and amen. Don't move. Who wants to make a decision to be baptized or rebaptized? You've not yet made it. You've not yet made it. You'll make it now. Anyone? You've not yet made it. You need to be baptized or rebaptized. You've not yet made it. You'll make it now. Let me see your hand. You've not yet made it. You'll make it now. Any hands? You've not yet made it to be baptized or rebaptized. You'll make that decision now. Let me see your hand. Give you 10 seconds. Let me see your hand. You'll make it now. Okay. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Let all God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.